pictures. Many alternatives, the same goal. Peace for one is peace for all. Peacemakers.
Hello and welcome to Peacemakers program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today we have another tour and another update from one of the areas in the country that has been particularly unstable in the last 1 month or so. And even if the situation is calming down at the moment, but we have seen a lot of things taking place there. And that is none other than Jonglei area. That is Greater Jonglei and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area together. And of course, we will be looking first on what the Civil Affairs Division and their partners have been doing there, even before the situation deteriorated during the Christmas Eve and the New Year's Eve. And of course, I have with me online from the Civil Affairs Officers, Samuel Sarpong and Fred Paul. Welcome, both of you, if you are getting me from Borther. Welcome, Samuel, and welcome, Fred.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Yes, welcome. And of course, as I said in the introduction, we have been seeing quite a stable situation in Jonglei, particularly in the first 6 months or 7 or 8 months of the last year. But suddenly the situation relapsed to violence, which was kind of unexpected, or people have been seeing it and didn't know what to do about the situation. But the question for the Civil Affairs Division is, were you taken by surprise by this deterioration in the situation there?
Yeah, good morning, Gabriel, and good morning to your listeners of Radio Miraya.
Welcome, Fred. This is Samuel? Okay.
Yeah, this is Samuel.
Welcome, Samuel. Yes.
I wouldn't say we're taken by surprise. It's just unfortunate. But the indications were very clear, and the early warning signals were clear that things were moving towards that direction. Yeah, so it wasn't a surprise.
As the situation unfolded, I think you have been doing key attempts or carrying out key activities in relation to the situation. Fred, what can you say about what you have been trying to do?
Actually, what we try to do was when we are following the situations, we try to engage the stakeholders, mainly the government officials at the state level, and then the county authorities, and then the chiefs at the Puma and Payam levels, including the women representative and the youth representative, including the religious leader. So that to control the situation on the ground and to make sure that the peace and warm relationship among the different community is maintained.
Yes, thanks Fred for that. And what are some of the key unfolding events that were particularly raising eyebrows or concerning in the language of peacekeepers? What were some of the concerning issues in this escalation?
Gabriel, I will say that before then, even let me also add a little to what Fred said.
Yes, Samuel.
We had a lot of activities when the early warning signals were clear that things were moving in the wrong direction. We intervened in both the political and the communal dimensions. At the political front, we took the county authorities or the state authorities from Jonglei, led by the deputy governor, to GPA people, where the two administrations interacted and they agreed to work together to promote peace between their communities. Not only that, we took the chiefs of Kumruk and Bo together with the county commissioners to Juba for a two-day dialogue about the deteriorating relationship. In addition to that, we also took on several occasions ministers of state parliamentarians and other government officials to a number of the county capitals to interact with the community, and especially the youth, to advocate for peaceful coexistence and restraint. I remember one time we took Honorable David Ayao and some leaders from GPA to a number of communities, including Jebel Boma, Gumuruk, and other locations on the same peace advocacy. So we did a lot. and not only CAD, but a lot of our peace partners, talk of Peace Canal, talk of the RSRJ program, talk of Sheikh Shalom, talk of Nonviolent Peace Force, all hands were on deck. But unfortunately, despite all these interventions, we got what we saw. The main issues, as your last question indicates, is about intercommunal violence. It is one thing stealing, and it is another being violent in the crime. And it is all because there's empty space and the law does not bite. In other words, rule of law is not implemented. And so criminals do things and then go scot-free. The next time they repeat because nothing happens. For me, that is the crux of the matter. In addition to that, the idleness and the lack of services. There are a lot of remote areas, especially in the GTA, Nanam Valley, and other communities, even in Yonglo State, where youth have no job. They are idle. And cattle keeping is the main occupation, which is not bad. But because of the security situation, people take advantage and then commit these violent crimes. And most worrisome is how they deal with women and children, you know, abduction. I mean, that is the low point of the crime. Mm-hmm. So these are the issues we are dealing with.
You mentioned the issues of security gap there, and there's an empty land, as you have said, and people are taking advantage of that. What could be the triggers that lead to this escalation? Because it seems like while you were talking and kind of indirect preemption of the situation, it seems people were talking, but some had their hands in their backs and they were not showing that they were having other options other than the dialogue in Yonglo. What explains this?
Well, I will still go back to what I said, the impunity. Because if one does or commits a crime and nothing happens, he repeats and nothing happens, he thinks that he has a free deal. It is time people are made to know that they cannot have their way. It is true people are poor, but being poor does not mean you go and take somebody's property. When you take that property, then you become rich now. Then it means the person becomes poor and he has to come to you. Then it will be cyclical. Despite all the constraints, I think that the core issue is non-enforcement of the rule of law. It is not that there are no laws in the country, there are laws, but the rule of law institutions are also weak on the ground. Because when somebody is killed, a chief will come in and try to resolve between the communities. But murder is not a case for a chief to handle. No, these are high profile crimes. But what do they have? The police institutions at the county PIAM levels are not there or are very weak. The court system are not there or are very weak. Even when a criminal is arrested and prosecuted, where is he kept? At the Boma level or the county level? There are clear issues of resources which needs to be addressed in terms of capacity and then facilities.
Thank you for this elaborate explanation. Yes, come in, Fred. Welcome.
You know, our mandate is very clear. As civil affairs and unmiss, we try to maintain peace in Yonglo as large in greater Upper Nile regions. When we got the indicator and the early warning system, we took the government officials on the 5th of October to Ayutz and stay there for 2 days, engaging with the youth and chiefs and other stakeholders so that the people remain calm and maintain good relationship with the neighbors. And then from there again, we took them from Ayutz to Lankin, the capital of Nyiro. They stay there for 2 days. They engage with all the stakeholders, telling them that it's better to maintain peace and give good relationship with neighbors. And there is no need for internal conflict with the neighbors. Also, we brought them back from Nyiro. We brought them to Uror, the capital, UI. They stay there for 2 days. And then finally, we brought them on day 12 to Bo. And all this indicated that we're executing our mandate. And then the government are very happy to what ANMIS is doing. But surprising, coming to answering your questions regarding what's triggering, I say, you know, Yonglo is a very volatile region, and a lot of youths have the guns on their hands. So this can trigger a lot of issues.
Yes, come in, Fred. I've lost you for a few seconds. Are you there? It seems we are missing the line from John Glay there, and we will wait on them to come back while we continue this program. Gabriel Shadar, this is Peacemakers on Radio Miraya, and we'll try to get back to the guests in more there who are online, and we will try to reconnect. Fred, yes, yeah. You seem to be back. Yeah.
Coming back to the trigger of the events in Jungle Estate, I've already mentioned for you very clear that the youths have a lot of guns in their hands, and they believe that they have the power. When you have the guns, you have the power. And this is the problem that triggered most of the events in Jungle, which will lead to intercommunal violence, whether internally or externally. So this is the issue currently the state authority is facing from the state up to the Puma level. So the grouping of the youth for their own interests, this is the problem, the greater problem now, which is facing the Jungle State. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to add to you, to what my colleague have said.
Mm-hmm. And then, as you are saying, the incentive for violence is higher than the incentive to have peace. And even, yes, not everybody is rich, everyone is on the same level, but the incentive to use violence is very, very high in Jungle Estate. Let's continue with the show. Yes, now we have moved, Samuel and Fred. We have touched on the post-conflict interventions. Now let's come to the during the conflict intervention, and I think we are still there. So what have you been trying to do? Let me start with Fred.
Thank you very much, Gabriel. After re-escalation, of course, we need to come with a strategy how to normalize the situations. Means, how can we intervene in order to bring the two parties back to the table? And not only that, we now making some proposals and consultations with all the stakeholders in Jungle, in Juba, in Vibor, so that we have first, let's say, the people of Jungle will have their own consultations and come up with what they see that will
get their line operating. So, yeah, you're back. Yes, welcome, Fred. Yeah, or Samuel. I see Samuel is back. Yes.
During the Fred was trying to give a background of activities that we did during the incident escalation.
Mm-hmm.
We were working hand in hand with the state administration. I remember the HOFO and civil affairs together with UNDSS and other sections. We always had my rank together with the governor and then the ministers of state. They did very well. You know, first trying to ensure the protection of Boer community. So they tried to dissuade many armed youth from entering to Boer town with their weapons, even though finally they came, but they weren't as many as was the situation would otherwise have been. Then also, they also negotiated with the armed youth and recovered a lot of abducted women and children. And for me, that deserves credit, because else it will have been difficult.
We have lost Samuel Sarpong again, and we are trying, of course.
They did very well.
Yeah, welcome. Yes, welcome, Fred. You can pick from where Samuel has ended.
Thank you very much. Yes, my colleague Samuel is said, Gabriel. I think we also have our strategy as enemies.
Let Samuel close his mic, yeah.
So we have also our strategy as a peacekeeping operation. We have our mandate as civil affairs. We have set together and come up with strategy with the help of OFO, the government state at the state level, and then at the Juba level, including the GPA authority, that the best options is to make further consultations. That will be people of Jungle will have their own consultation to come up with the points. And also people of GPA will sit together, whether in Juba or where, and make their own consultation and come out with the points how to address the post-conflict issue so that it will not be repeated in the future. This is now what we are working. And in this context, it's not only UNMISS alone, involve other stakeholders like UNDP. Mm-hmm. So this is the main issue now in front of us, which we need to work together as one team in order to address this issue. Otherwise, if it goes out of control, like what we have seen recently in January this month, I don't think that even our special report.
Yes, the line seems also failing there with Fred, and we are still on these updates. And Fred has just been telling me that they are trying to devise a strategy to deal with the situation with the involvement of many stakeholders, and of course they are trying to involve even those who are humanitarian partners to continue with the situation that they are trying to do there. Welcome back, Fred. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They are not keeping the promise that they've made to all the stakeholders. So this is where we are trying to come out with a new strategy. And then after that, all people meet in Juba, where they're going to address this issue once for all. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And of course, this is my last round of questions for Fred and Samuel. Now, given this situation and in the context of peacekeeping, in the context of the implementation of the peace agreement and all that kind of things, the near future for Jonglei and Bibor is tightly connected to the easing of animosities between the two areas, more than inside each of these areas. And so the new strategy comes after a lot of attempts at peace in Jonglei. Some reports I've seen say that there were like 40 interventions in terms of peace, dialogue, reconciliation and all these over the years, over in the last like 40 years. So, but it's still the situation is getting back and getting back with more intensity. People are speaking about the deployment of the unified forces as one of the options. The government has spoken about that, and until that thing happens, the gap you were speaking about, Samuel, is likely to continue or not.
Well, I think if current situation continues, then the future will be as today. We expect to see changes from the front of development. At least we saw last week the president himself was here to launch the second phase of the road project to Ayod. Now, if you come to Bo, you will not believe the condition of the road. At least there's a demonstration effect for people to see what they stand to gain if there's peace. So that is very a positive one. Then also, as Fred mentioned, we want to actively engage all stakeholders at appropriate levels. I know senior management of the mission are very concerned about this, and they are actively engaged with government at the highest level to intervene in this issue, because the early warning signals were out for too long and we didn't see any significant action. And I'm happy that the president, my information, the president himself has instructed that personnel in his office take charge of this issue. And so soon, with our facilitation, we'll be bringing together the key people from these communities to sit down and brainstorm on how they can use their positions to leverage this situation that we continue to experience. At the state level, the government already has been doing their best and will continue to support them. One thing for us as a
We've lost Samuel a little bit in a few seconds also. We've lost Samuel. We are still waiting for the return of the both Samuel Sarpong and Fred online so that we wrap up the show today. And we're still listening to Peacemakers on Radio Mirai with me, Gabriel Shadar. It's been a lot of cutting of the lines there from Jonglei. Apologies for that, but we are still on the show. Yes, welcome, Samuel, where you left. Yeah.
To answer, I was about to conclude that as we begin to see a demonstrative effect of development as peace dividend, and together with the state authorities and our peace partners, we continue to sustain our support and interventions. We believe that definitely we will achieve peace, ultimately. To agree that if the unified forces are deployed across stops and create a buffer. At least it also prevent cross-border criminal attacks so that people cannot even move to another state and raid cattle and move, because it is associated with cattle raiding.
Yes, let me get to Fred for your concluding remarks also.
I will put for you very clear this, that the issue of unified forces, everybody will welcome it to be deployed. But before we talk that, I would say for two issues, yes or no, whether it will be effective or not. Not because from the point of view of UNMISS, but because of the conditions that present on the ground in Greater Jungle, which is included GPA. When I say Greater Jungle, GPA has a lot of challenges as well as Jungle. When it comes to the deployment, road access is not there. And then the rain itself, it make it difficult, even though you deploy the force on the border between the two edges. So you need to have a helicopter from the government from where to be supplying these people on the daily basis. Because when you deploy force, they need logistics for supply to sustain them in the area. This is one. Number two, I will put very clear that there has to be consensus between all the stakeholders. They have to agree that the deployment force will have a unified commander, which they will be working with, so that there will be no different commanders. And then thirdly, the army use, or those use who are carrying arms, they have to have a sort of control over them, because if they have no control over them, they're likely to engage with the unified force, and it will be another conflict in the area. But we're looking forward, Mr. Governor, forward as UNMISS to execute our mandate and work with all our leadership to make sure that peace prevails in Jungles and the life return normal, and then everybody will do his own activities that he's supposed to do.
Really, thank you very much, Fred Paul, and also Samuel Sarpong, civil affairs officers who are in Jungle State, for the really informed input, and they are really an authority in when it comes to these issues of conflict analysis, intervention, and that. Thank you very much. And with that, I've come to the end of today's Peacemakers program on Radio Mirai with me, Gabriel Shadan. It has all been coming from Greater Jungle, that is Jungle State, and Greater People Administrative Area. Thanks for listening.
Peacemakers. Many alternatives. The same goal. Peace for one is peace for all. Peacemakers.